Black Seconds by Karen Fossum. Translated from the Norwegian by Charlotte Barslund. Read by David Rintoul. Chapter 1. The days went by so slowly. Ida Jona held up her hands and counted her fingers. Her birthday was on the 10th of September, and it was only the 1st today. There were so many things she wanted. Most of all, she wanted a pet of her own, something warm and cuddly, which would belong only to her. Ida had a sweet face with large brown eyes. Her body was slender and trim, her hair thick and curly. She was bright and happy. She was just too good to be true. Her mother often thought so, especially whenever Ida left the house and she would watch her daughter's back disappear around the corner. Too good to last. Ida jumped up on her bicycle, her brand new Nakamura bicycle. She was going out. The living room was a mess. She'd been lying on the sofa playing with her plastic figures and several other toys, and it was chaos when she left. At first, her absence would create a great void. After a while, a strange mood would creep in through the walls and fill the house with a sense of unease. Her mother hated it. But she could not keep her daughter locked up forever, like some caged bird. She waved to Ida and put on a brave face, lost herself in domestic chores. The humming of the Hoover would drown out the strange feeling in the room. When her body began to grow hot and sweaty, or started to ache from beating the rugs, it would numb the faint stabbing sensation in her chest, which was always triggered by Ida going out. She glanced out of the window. The bicycle turned left. Ida was going into town. Everything was fine. She was wearing her bicycle helmet, a hard shell that protected her head. Helga thought of it as a type of life insurance. In her pocket, she had a zebra-striped purse which contained 30 kroner, about to be spent on the latest issue of Wendy. She usually spent the rest of her money on bug chewing gum. The ride down to Leila's kiosk would take her 15 minutes. Her mother did the mental arithmetic. Ida would be back home again by 6:40 p.m. Then she factored in the possibility of Ida meeting someone and spending 10 minutes chatting. While she waited, she started to tidy up, picked up toys and figures from the sofa. Helga knew that her daughter would hear her words of warning wherever she went. She had planted her own voice of authority firmly in the girl's head, and knew that from there it sent out clear and constant instructions. She felt ashamed at this, the kind of shame that overcomes you after an assault, but she did not dare do otherwise, because it was this very voice that would one day save Ida from danger. Ida was a well-brought-up girl who would never cross her mother or forget to keep a promise. But now the wall clock in Helga Jona's house was approaching 7 p.m. and Ida had still not come home. Helga experienced the first prickling of fear, and later that sinking feeling in the pit of her stomach that made her stand by the window from which she would see Ida appear on her yellow bicycle any second now. The red helmet would gleam in the sun. She would hear the crunch of the tyres on the pebbled drive, perhaps even the ringing of the bell, "Hi, I'm home," followed by a thud on the wall from the handlebars. But Ida did not come. Helga Jona floated away from everything that was safe and familiar. The floor vanished beneath her feet. Her normally heavy body became weightless. She hovered like a ghost around the rooms. Then, with a thump to her chest, she came back down, stopped abruptly and looked around. Why did this feel so familiar? Because she had already, for many years now, been rehearsing this moment in her mind. Because she had always known that this beautiful child was not hers to keep. It was the very realization that she had known this day would come that terrified her. The knowledge that she could predict the future and that she had known this would happen right from the beginning made her head spin. "That's why I'm always so scared," Helga thought. "I've been terrified every day for nearly 10 years, and for good reason. Now it's finally happened. My worst nightmare. Huge, black, and tearing my heart to pieces." It was 7:15 p.m. when she forced herself to snap out of her apathy and find the number for Leila's kiosk in the phone book. She tried to keep her voice calm. The telephone rang many times before someone answered. Her phoning...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?